I'm coming to get you.
Blessed be the Lord, my strength, who teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. I'm Scott Bennett. This is Global Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com. And today we are joined by the great Pastor Archer Pawlowski from Canada, a man of valiant spirit, of holiness, and is dedicated to the glory of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has indeed been risen and held up as a icon, as a beacon of truth by God, in his standing firm, girding the loins of his manhood, of his mind, of his soul, girding his loins like a warrior in the face of madness and treason and fascism that has emanated out of Canada and indeed out of America and Britain and Australia, all over the West. And it is quite unique that God has raised up this mighty man from the early days of communism in Eastern Europe, brought him to Canada, and he is one of the only voices that has been standing up against the illegality, against the godlessness that has been trying to destroy faith and destroy churches and translate all of Western society into a slave state. Archer Pawlowski has been one of the few men to stand up against it. And he is going to give us an update on what is happening in the courts and the law systems of this world, specifically in Canada, and how he's being moved by God to stand in these days, how people also can come around and help and support him. So, Archer, it is great honor to have you on again. I'm just going to hand it right to you to give us your opening statement on what has the Lord been doing through you and where do you think he's taking you? Go ahead, Archer.
Well, thank you so much for having me on your show. While so much has happened in the past few years, I don't know if you want me to summarize the ordeal. Yes. It's quite long and has many turning points. But to summarize it, I would say one day I asked the Lord, God, why me? You know, there are smarter people than me, more educated people than me, people with perfect English, people that have been born on this soil. Why a little pastor from a little church that grew up behind the Iron Curtain under the boots of the Soviets? And then it kind of hit me. Well, first of all, I am a Polish immigrant. Polish people are so much like Americans. We value freedom. Freedom, liberty is in our DNA, because the history of Poland, it's a history of nations that did their best trying to steal what's rightfully ours. And of course, United States of America is a nation that was birthed in a crucial moment in history on the dream of liberty, the dream of freedom, that the man can work hard and achieve something beautiful and build a house and leave a legacy for his children and grandchildren. And of course, freedom was the foundation. God was foundation of that dream. People came from all over the world to the new world, a world without persecution, a world that a man can achieve the dream that is in his heart. And of course, all of those things, if you have been paying attention, are being stolen from us. Everything that the United States was built upon, everything that Canadians, the founding fathers of our nation here, wanted to pass to the next generation is under attack. So I think that God was looking for someone that would be able to go through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that God is there with that person. And I think he was looking and he was knocking at other hearts, and no one wanted to do it. So I guess he got stuck with me. And okay, fine, I'll use you. And that was my prayer always to God. God, here I am. If you want to use a man like me, use me. And I remember when I finally became serious, if it comes to God, I remember I said to him, I'll always say what you want me to say, even if it means standing there alone. And I'm doing my best to keep that word. So I grew up behind the Iron Curtain under the boots of the Soviets in a country that, of course, was attacked by the Germans, the Nazis. I grew up in a city that had a concentration camp. We were playing in the bunkers of the SS. And history was everywhere, right? From my grandparents' stories, older generations, to the bullet holes that were still in our buildings. And then growing up behind the Iron Curtain under communism and socialism, of course, I saw firsthand the atrocities that a godless government, tyrannical government, unleashes upon the society. You got to remember, 50,000 communists were ruling over 36 million Polish people. That's a crazy statistics. Until one day, after decades of being enslaved and raped and murdered and arrested, imprisoned and tortured, Polish people said, finally, enough is enough. We lost everything, and they took it to the streets. And I saw that with my own eyes. And I think that's why God decided, okay, this man has seen the bad, the good, and the ugly. And he understands the concept of what is going to take for the people to get their freedom back. And Polish people did it the right way. They did it with God. They were marching with crosses. They were marching with God on their lips. They were praying. They were kneeling against the tanks and machine guns. And that's the only way I believe that we can win this. You see, in the Bible, it says where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Yes. So I said that to Americans. I said that to anyone that would be willing to listen, including, of course, thousands of times here in Canada. I would say, if you want your freedom back, you must invite God of freedom back in your country. There's no other way. Without God, we have already lost. Without God, we are already defeated. Without God, the giants are too big, mountains are too high. And we can have 10,000 different other excuses why we cannot do it. However, the moment, and I want the people to hear that, the moment God shows up, the moment he decide to come into your circumstances, it's over for the enemy. And you've got a guaranteed victory. So that's a concept that we've lost in our Western democracies. We have done everything in our power to kick God out of schools, kick God out of justice system. That's why now we don't have justice system. We just got a corrupted system. Mainstream propaganda is not delivering the truth anymore. They're cooking stuff. They're cooking lies. That's why the healthcare system is just a system pushing drugs. I've never seen bigger drug dealers than the doctors and the nurses in my entire life. And if you know my story, you know that's what I do for a living. I work with the homeless people. I work with drug addicts, prostitutes. For 24 years, our church is feeding, the most vulnerable people in our society, those that fall through the cracks. the people that no one else wants to touch.
All of those were the seeds of Democrat, leftist, liberal, godless policy, anti-family policy, anti-marriage policy. All of these poor souls that are afflicted with drug addictions, it's all because of loneliness, isolation, hopelessness, because they have not been embraced with the love of you know, what Christ calls us to. And the Democrats have created this culture, and the left in this culture, and Republicans and Christian, the Christian church has been asleep at the wheel. And indeed, we've adopted many of these policies in divorce and all these other things. We've allowed, you know, been letting this rot into the body of Christ, into the churches, instead of repelling it like a disease, like an infection. And we've fallen from grace as a result. And I just wanted to add it in. It's all Democrat originated and devil originated.
Yeah, I call it Democrats. Yeah, you're 100% right. It's by design. And people have to understand that. Everything that those evil, wicked, demon-possessed people have been doing is by design. Attack on the family, attack on the children, attack on the most vulnerable, elderly, etc. Economy. I have never seen a bigger attempt to eliminate the middle class ever being attempted in the history of mankind. They are eliminating the best because they are creating two categories of people. They're creating the elites. They're telling you own nothing, eating crickets, and you will be happy. And believe me, you're talking to a man that grew up in that kind of a system, and we own nothing. And I'm telling you, we were not happy. When people ask me how it was growing up under the boots of the Soviets, and I'm telling you, it's hell. It is literally hell. You can't express yourself. There's fear everywhere. The people are walking like shadow. If you go back, I encourage people to do it. If you don't believe me, go back and watch some of the older videos from behind the Iron Curtain. And here's what you will see. Shadows. There are not many colors there. Everyone is kind of dark. People's heads are down. They don't really look at each other anymore because they're afraid, because you never know who is the snitch. You never know who is going to rot, you know, denounce you. You could be arrested for just listening to a wrong radio station, 5 years of imprisonment. You could be beaten, tortured, and arrested for having a pamphlet that was not approved by the Communist Party. You could be arrested, tortured for just having a wrong opinion, just like we are witnessing in Canada. You got to remember, I was arrested. And listen to this. I am a Polish immigrant that escaped hell through Greece to come to Canada for freedom, not for money. We had a great business in Greece. We did not emigrate to Canada for money, for bread, like many people. We emigrated to Canada for one simple reason, for freedom. Because we didn't want to live in a country that is corrupted, and we didn't want to live in a system that persecutes and prosecutes Christians. We came to Canada, the country that we were told in a Canadian embassy in Athens, that is the freest country on earth, and in Canada, no one will ever prosecute us or persecute us for our faith. So here I am today testifying to you after 340 citations, over 120 court cases, and 16 arrests. All of those things, every single one of my trouble is associated or connected to me being a pastor in Canada. I was arrested for feeding homeless. My trouble started in 2005 after the Canadian government declared that feeding the homeless is now illegal. You're not allowed to take care of the poor. You're not allowed to give a sandwich to a dying child on public streets because you're committing a crime. I was arrested for that multiple times. I was ticketed $10,000 tickets for having an illegal, not approved signage that was offensive. Jesus loves you. I was arrested for reading the Bible in public without amplification in a public park, Tompkins Park. My Bibles were all confiscated by the police and never given to me. Gospel tracts. I was arrested for distribution of printed material. I was arrested for just feeding the poor and preaching the gospel. And you got to understand that those people that we are dealing with right now, those are the wannabe pharaohs. Pharaohs, they want to be gods. And anyone else that claims that there is the God is an enemy of the state. You got to remember, when you would come to the pharaoh, you are to bow. And everything the pharaoh says, it becomes the law, just like we've seen that in the past 3 years, when the Pinocchio Fauci was coming in the morning telling you one thing and changing his mind in the evening, and his nose was growing bigger and bigger. Everything they were saying automatically was considered a law, which, of course, it was not a law, because you got to go through the process, parliament, senate, you know, constitution, all of those things were kicked out, because you got to remember, they're creating two categories of people. They're eliminating the middle class. Why? Middle class people are highly educated, well-traveled. They are highly patriotic, family-oriented. Many of them are believers. They have received their inheritance from their grandparents, parents. They want to leave a legacy for their children. So those people are the best of the best. They're the cream of the society. They pay taxes. They don't commit crimes. They are very responsible human beings. And this category of people, if you challenge them, they will fight you. They will defend their families. They will defend their children. They will defend their properties. And those people need to go by the government eliminating them. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that they are eliminating opposition, creating them, which is the elites, telling you you own nothing, eating crickets, while at the same time they travel to Davos in their private jets, over 1,000 of them, eating Japanese most expensive steaks on earth, driving their SUVs. We are talking about the same people that are telling you there is a climate, a chaos and global boiling, you know, all the nonsense that they are saying, that cows are causing this, so you have to eat crickets. I mean, it's insanity at the highest levels.
Let me ask you, on your side, it seems the Trudeau and these cricket-eating globalist lunatic demoniacs are all falling apart. They're crumbling. They're going schizophrenic and mad. They're like the prophets of Baal, quipping and abusing themselves, thinking that somehow they're intimidating the people. And I don't think they are. I think the people in America and Canada and elsewhere are looking at your example. God is showing them your strength and courage, and it's right out of Daniel. And they're being emboldened by your example, because what they do to you, they're doing to every Canadian. They're doing to every Canadian pastor, every American pastor, every Australian, every British, everyone who loves freedom and loves God and family and tradition and the Ten Commandments and natural law. And I mean, there are far more of those people in our Western Hemisphere than there are opposite. But they're seeing your example. And I want to know, are there men of God's position in courts, in the parliament, in political areas? Are there people coming to your aid and support, like the alternative to Justin Trudeau, the Canadian representatives, standing up saying, we cannot allow a judicial system in Canada and a police tyranny in Canada to imprison a man of God for feeding the poor and for standing up against tyranny, and indeed showing that the Canadian government under Trudeau have been violating the Constitution by their persecution of this man? Are there people in the Canadian-American environment that have been coming and helping and supporting you against this battle that's coming with the courts and stuff? Go ahead.
Well, yes and no. So we do not have even one politician that has been elected. And I'm talking about MLAs and members of parliament and senators. Not even one is fighting for us. Not even one is willing to pay the price and expose. So we've lost political realm completely. We need to dethrone them and vote for a completely new party, a party that will grow from the grassroots up. If it comes to the people, there is a great awakening, like I have not seen before, within the Canadian society, within American society, within Australian society. New Zealanders are rising up. So there is that aspect that the people see that this is just wrong. They see the hypocrisy. They see the politicians telling us one thing, but doing completely opposite. And that's what I say to the people. Do not listen to what they say, because they're clever liars. They're very good manipulators. They're deceivers. They're con artists. That's what they are. A con artist, he has a gift to compel you to give him money. That's the politicians these days. They're con artists. They have that gift from demons, from Satan himself, to lie with straight face. So people are starting to see that. If it comes to my story, I have been charged over 340 times and over 120 court cases, and I was arrested multiple times. And during the big lie that started about 3 years ago, I became the first Canadian to get this ticket, the COVID ticket. The Canadian government used me, broadcasted the whole story. There was press conference, police, media, you name it, politicians, kind of portraying me as the super spreader, as a dangerous individual, lawbreaker, troublemaker. And for what? I received a letter from the city hall telling me I have to stop feeding the homeless because we're in this crisis. And I replied to them. I said, okay, what do you think is going to happen to 15 to 20,000 different individuals facing homelessness if you shut down shelters and soup kitchens? And they did not reply. I said, I know what is going to happen. They're going to turn into crime. They will whack your grandma's head. They will break into your house, into a garage. They will break into a grocery store. I mean, people need to eat. If you do not provide them, and it doesn't matter why they're there, yes, but they're there. We got to face the music. They're there for whatever reason. There's a lots of drug addicts, a lots of alcoholics, but they're there. You got to deal with that. Yep. 15 to 20,000 different individuals. If I don't feed them, and I feed thousands of people, well, and other ministries will not feed them, they're going to turn into crime, and they're going to hurt other people. And I send them appeal to the mayor. I send it to the premier. Premier is like your governor and all the ministers. And guess what? No one even replied to me. At that moment, I knew this has nothing to do with keeping people healthy or saving lives. Lives are quite opposite. It was a big fat lie. So I kept feeding the poor, and then I got surrounded by 12 officers, end up with a ticket, threats, arrests, etc. And then they started to hunt me down every single time I was either inside the church or outside of the church feeding the poor. The culmination was in 2020 when the Canadian government told us that they're canceling Christmas. The police chief said, well, we will be monitoring your driveways. If there is more cars, then we will break the doors and arrest all. No brother for coffee, no parents for a Christmas dinner, no singing. Can you believe it? They outlawed singing. Singing was illegal. Lord's Supper was illegal. Total insanity. So I said, enough is enough. I went on television too, and I invited people to the biggest Christmas celebration ever. Thousands of people showed up. We had AAA steaks, hundreds of gifts for the homeless, and we did the unthinkable. I hired carolers, and we were singing. Over 100 police officers, 52 police cars, anti-terrorists, chief of police, and they came bearing gifts. I end up with 15 more COVID tickets. That's 2020. 2021 comes, and they started to harass and intimidate us inside the building. And that's where the video, Get Out Gestapo, Get Out Nazis, came from. But you got to remember, why did I use this, you know, this warning that robs a lot of Christians in the wrong way? Because I'm a Polish immigrant, and I've seen this before. Yes. I am calling them by their proper names. They're acting like Gestapo. What is Gestapo? Most of the people don't understand the warning. Gestapo simply means political police. Police that is monitoring your thoughts and your words. That's what Gestapo was all about. If you oppose the Nazi party, then the Gestapo would come knocking at your door, torturing you, and, you know, throwing you in prison. So I started to call them by their proper names. They were not nice officers. Don't be fooled by, good morning, Mr. Polowski. No, they were there to destroy us. They were there to murder our loved ones. And they eventually, of course, I was right from the very beginning. Now, the millions that were fooled by the government, now they know what really was done to them. Do you know that in Canada, we have right now, as I speak to you, we have 10 times more deaths than 2 years before? 10 times more people are dying. I just received statistics from Lethbridge, where my court case is, 10 times more people have died already this year than in the past few years. So it's shocking. We were right from the very beginning. Going back to the story, when I kicked them out, of course, that went viral. Billion people watched it. It was the most watched video during the Passover celebration weekend globally, and they came with a vengeance. They found crooked judges, David Gates from Alberta, that gave them the power to enter our church with whomever they wished and anytime they wanted. So they came with anti-terrorists. Then John Rook, the crook as I call him, enslaved 4.5 million Albertans, telling them that if you oppose the health officer, you will be in contempt of court and you will be arrested. And then Adam Germain, that ruled that I must, every time I talk to another human being, I must recite the government approved script if it comes to COVID pandemic. So all of those things were happening. I filed appeals. I was arrested with my brother David in the middle of the highway, on our knees, thrown in prison, on concrete, arrested again, released on bail, arrested again multiple times, released on bail for attending a rally, for attending a protest. And then the truck convoy came. And I, at that time, I was called Canada's pastor. I was called Freedom Pastor. So the truckers called me and they said, Pastor, we're a little bit depressed. We need a little bit of encouragement. Can you come to us and do a church services for us? So, of course, they didn't have to ask me twice. I took my son, Nathaniel. I took a worshiper. We took speakers, food. Off we went to do a church services. And I did multiple of them. During the church services, we had Lord's Supper. We were singing national anthem. We were praying for people. We were singing hymns. And I did always a sermon. And I did the same thing at Montana border in Coutts, Montana and Alberta point of entry, in a private property, in a restaurant. And I did the same thing. I reminded people about history. I told them about the revolution in Poland. I reminded them that it has to be done peacefully. Three times during my 19-minute sermon, I've told the Canadians to hold the line, stand for God and state-given rights, to do it peacefully. Three times, no guns, no swords, and to do it solidarity style, Mahatma Gandhi style, Martin Luther King Jr., civil rights movement style. And it was very, very well received. Of course, the government didn't like it. A few days later, I was arrested by anti-terrorists, RCMP. RCMP is like your FBI and detectives, undercover police, and then uniformed police officers, interrogated for hours, stripped naked, put in prison, solitary confinement, 45 days, metal cages, kidnapped after I was every night taken to a concrete cell, no water, no washroom, on concrete, and messed up my back so severely that it took weeks for my chiropractor to fix me up. And to this day, I'm facing problems with my back because of that ordeal. I just had another session with my friend today because I'm from time to time, I'm living in pain if he doesn't correct me. So then I was kidnapped by sheriffs, taken to Edmonton, hundreds of miles away from my hometown, put in Maxpot. Maxpot is a prison for the most dangerous terrorists. Believe it or not, I was there by myself. Hundreds of cells, empty, and just pastor in Canada, Art Pulaski, in freezing conditions. By that time, we already learned that the inmates testified to our lawyers, five of them, five different individuals, that the guards were giving them incentives to murder me in prison. The next day, the judge heard about what was happening to me, and then it scared them, so they moved me to a psych ward without the evaluation of the doctors, without the knowledge of Alberta Health Services. Totally illegal. Everything they did to me was illegal. 3 weeks, they denied my access to the lawyers, and they confiscated my Bibles. I confiscated my write-ups for the lawyer's eyes only, would not give me my reading glasses, abuse after abuse after abuse, threats. And of course, the Crown Prosecutor, Stephen Johnston, Stephen Johnston is a pathological liar, proven pathological liar, making stuff up, manufacturing evidence, lying to the judges multiple times from a special prosecutor's unit in the province of Alberta. He's still in charge of forwarding this mockery of a justice. While he, believe it or not, accused me of causing Canadian economy over $400 million worth of damages for my speech. He compared during the trial my peaceful sermon to Rwanda genocide. He also said that when I was talking to the truckers and the farmers, it was like a man inciting murder on other people. And guess what? There were no witnesses. There was nothing there. I'm the first Canadian in the history of this country that my sermon, word by word, was on trial. I am the first Canadian in the history of this country that has been found guilty on inciting mischief. Mischief is a thought crime in Canada. That if you say something that the government doesn't like, they can charge you with criminal mischief. And that's what happened to me, up to 10 years of imprisonment. And I'm the first Canadian ever to be charged with ecoterrorism. And I'm the first one to be found guilty of ecoterrorism, interfering with the crucial infrastructure under the Defense Act. And also I was found guilty on breaching the release order. My sentencing was supposed to happen on August the 9th. Now it was pushed to September 18th. I'm facing over 10 years of imprisonment. And yesterday, I received a phone call from my legal team, and I was told that the Crown Prosecutor sent a letter to them saying that he's seeking prison for my crime of being a pastor and telling people to stand lawfully, to stand for God and state-given rights under the criminal code and under the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is fundamentally guaranteed to every Canadian. And in a preamble, it states, whereas Canada acknowledges the supremacy of God and the rule of law under our constitution, and all of that has been thrown out, and I'm facing over 10 years of imprisonment. And the Crown Prosecutor, the same Crown Prosecutor that now faces trouble on his own, because we have a document that is going to be unsealed in September that he broke a criminal law himself by colluding with RCMP illegally. And this is going to be unsealed also on October 18th. So it's crazy. We have been betrayed by the politicians. We have been betrayed by the doctors. We have been betrayed by the justice system. And they are using me as an example for the rest of the world. And I said that to Americans and I said that to Canadians. You look at me as a shield between you and the villains. And I'm not the only one. There are others. We are like a shield between the normal people that just want to live their lives in peace and the villains. When we go down, and be sure of it, that's history. That's not Pastor Arthur Pulaski preaching. That's history. When we go down, you're next.
Yes.
It's in your best interest to keep people like me alive.
Yes.
To support us, to make sure I have legal representation, yes, because we already spent over $1 million in legal fees. Mm-hmm. And if we go down, they will come after you. Yes. That's history.
Yeah. Arthur, give us your website and how people can support you, give to your legal defense. Give us your contact information now so that people have it in their brain how they can support you.
Well, I have three legal teams right now fighting us. I'm not the only one in trouble in my family. My brother David was arrested multiple times. And it looks like this is a pattern of a totalitarian regime everywhere, that they always go after family. They will go after the head and they will hurt that person by going after his children, his wife, or his family. So my brother David, just because he's my brother, was arrested 11 times for this craziness. Now they're after my boy, my oldest son, Nathaniel, because I am talking to you from my house arrest. I'm not a free man. I am still a prisoner of the state, a political and religious prisoner, talking to you from a house arrest, which I am under a year and a half right now. So I spent 50 days in prison. I was released on very strict bail conditions. I had to give them a lot of money and placed on house arrest. And I am under that condition to this day. Every time I want to do something outside of the approved hours, I have to have a written permission from my probation officer. So now, because I cannot travel, my son picked up that torch and he's traveling. He's testifying. He just testified before the European Parliament. We just got invited to United Nations to testify. He just came back from Brussels, but 2 days yesterday, he came from Clay's conference when he had a meeting with General Flynn and Trump's family to testify, to warn Americans what is happening behind the Iron Curtain in China right now here. So he just came back. There were warrants for his arrest. Every time he goes somewhere, he comes back and he learns there is another warrant for his arrest for daring to testify in our behalf. So I had to hire a lawyer for him. Now I have to, tomorrow I have another meeting. I'm hiring another legal team because the whole thing is so complex. It's difficult to maneuver around the level of corruption that we're dealing with. So if people want to help us, I mean, we cannot do this alone, that's for sure. One little family cannot do it. One little church cannot do it. But together, we are unbeatable. So if you want to go to streetchurch.ca, streetchurch, because our big portion of our ministry is on the streets. So we're feeding the homeless. We are taking them off the streets. We are feeding thousands of people every month. Streetchurch.ca. And for Canadians, I mean, there is PayPal. There's all kinds of ways that people can donate. You can send checks. There is address there. For the Canadian people, the easiest way is e-transfer, A-R-T at streetchurch.ca, A-R-T at streetchurch.ca. That's my email, and people can donate that way. And, you know, I have been criticized lately for asking for donations, but people do not realize what we're dealing with. We're dealing with unlimited resources of the government. Evil, wicked people, those politicians, don't pay a cent. They're being paid to do this to us. We, the taxpayers, are paying our own oppressors.
Yes.
Right? And it is just a crazy concept. So it costs them nothing. Another frivolous case, another charge, whatever, it costs them nothing. In Canada, we have zero accountability. The checks and balances do not exist in our system anymore. They all are one party, chirping one party line. So we have to crowdfund. There is no other way that we can survive this, because I'm telling you, I had meetings with so many lawyers throughout the years, and even them, and they are highly educated. They've done many cases. Our lawyers are senior lawyers, and they are puzzled. They have to grab phone calls and put teams together to understand what is going on here, right? The government can get you on technicalities. So it's no longer about the merits of the case. This is not about lie versus the truth. This is a system that is so corrupted that gets you by the process. The process is punishment. Even if you win, there are no consequences to the villains, but you are out $100,000 or $200,000. So one person cannot do this, and one family cannot do that. That's why we are doing crowdfunding. That's why we're asking people, well, please chip in. Everyone can chip in a little bit. And then when you combine the people, well, then we can tackle the giants. Even David needed the stones.
Yes.
Right? We all need something, and God is going to provide us this way or that way with what we need to tackle that giant. All those giants are a little bit different, and they need to be taken down differently. But if we're talking about the giants, I just want to say that David, and God is looking for Davids today, David was anointed to be the king. he knew who he was in God, and he also knew who his God was. And in order for him to become the king, he had to tackle the bears, he had to tackle the lions, he had to be faithful with the little that God has given him. Then he could tackle the giant, because the giant was an opportunity for David. It was a mountain. On the other side of that mountain was David's destiny. David would never become the king if he would not be willing to fight with the lions, the bears, and the giants. Only then he qualified to become the leader of God's people. So, in other words, instead of running away from the giants, we should run towards the giants, because the giants are our opportunities to have a testimony, and that's where our promotion is.
Let me ask you on that level, when you've gone into these courts and you've had the chance to address, to speak to judges and juries or prosecutors, what is the Lord speaking through you? What have you said to these people? Because I know my heart's filled with the boldness of lions and the righteousness and the war song of David to make all sorts of declarations against them. But from your experience, when you've been in these arenas, what have you been saying to these people on the other side, the police, the judges, the prosecutors, the juries? What have you been putting into their hearts?
Well, I'll tell you this. I spend more time at times in a court or with lawyers than in a church as a pastor. And I had opportunity to testify internationally. I remember this one judge, he asked me, some of my trials were as long as 3 weeks. So just, you know, grasp your head around that. It's crazy. If you murder someone, there will be a few days trial usually. If you feed someone, there will be weeks. So one judge, one day he says, I would like to hear why you do what you do. Tell me your story. So I talked from the very beginning of my childhood, growing up behind the Iron Curtain, everything for a whole day. Then we come the next day and the judge says, Mr. Pawlowski, I would like you to continue. And I said, Your Honor, I don't want to bore this court with my story. And he says, no, I'm really interested. I talked for the entire second day, testifying, talking about the healings, talking about how God raised my son from the dead. My son, Nathaniel, the oldest one, was born with a heart on opposite side, smashed lungs, bowels messed up his upper chest. The doctor said there's no survival. There is no way, medically speaking, that he's going to live. And then a miracle happened. And I mean, it's a complicated thing. It takes me 2 hours to share that story. Yeah. And I was able to share all of that in details. And the judge was telling me, I want to hear more. I want to hear more. The mainstream media reporters were there. People were there. I'm telling you, during some of the proceedings, I looked around and everyone was crying, including the judge. Mm-hmm. So in a way, God is looking for those opportunities. Yes, they are not pleasant, but God is using them to magnify the gospel, to let the people know. My story has become many times an international story, and I was able to preach through that story thousands of times, not just hundreds of times, thousands of times, including in Russia, in Vatican City, in China, in North Korea. I mean, all those things I got, sometimes they slip some messages to me in Africa, in Saudi Arabia. People say, well, we cannot listen to this, but we have been secretly, and it's so amazing. And, you know, so the impact we will never know. What was the impact? Or put it this way, what is still the impact of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to this day? Right? We read about it and we say, wow, this is a fascinating story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a choice, just like the whole world in the past 3 years. They could just simply bow. They were high officials. They had great jobs, in quote, great pension. And they could be like the politicians and the pastors today. I don't want to risk my pension. You know, I got a mortgage to pay. I have too high of a position to risk it. I will just bow and God understands. No, God does not understand cowardice. He doesn't understand treachery. Either you are a faithful shepherd of God's people or you're a traitor. Or your Ezav that sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, or Judas Iscariot that sold Jesus and his faith for a silver coin, or Peter that denied Christ because of fear. If you're Peter, God is telling you that there is hope for you. You can come back and God will forgive you. But there is no hope for Ezavs and there is no hope for Judas Iscariot. They will die, or maybe they are already dead, many of them. But there is hope for Peters. So I want to tell you that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to give up their rights to live, to give up their lives and trust God, they said those famous words when Nebuchadnezzar was challenging them and saying, "Who will be able to get you out of my hands? There's no one powerful enough." And their reply was fascinating. "Oh, know this, O great king, that either God will rescue us or not, we will not bow before your golden image." Off they go, they're bound, and off they go to the fire. But it was in the fire. You see, that's a crucial thing. It was in the fire that God dealt with their enemies. Those that threw them in died first.
Yes.
And it was in the fire where they got their freedom. And it's a kind of crazy idea that you got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You got to go to the lion's den. You got to go to the fiery furnace to get your freedom. But right, but God, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Yes. His ways are higher than our ways. And it was in the fire that they had an encounter with the living God. Not outside of the fire, not before the fire. Jesus showed up in the fire to set them free. Amen. And in the fire, they had a global testimony. Amen. I remember when I was in prison and they were abusing me, and it was just metal cages stripped naked in front of men and women. Like it was no fun. I remember I called my wife and I said, "Does anyone care what is happening to me? I mean, this is all illegal. Is there outcry?" And my wife says, "Listen, Art, this story is no longer about you. This is not a story about us anymore. There are hundreds of thousands of people that are watching,
yes,
praying. The people are sending me texts. The phone never stops.
Yes.
Phone calls, texts, emails." And I realized, maybe for the first time, that God is using us not just for us, but he's using us for the kingdom of God. The story is a lot bigger than Arthur Pulaski. The story is a lot bigger than the city of Calgary and the Canadian government. And I remember praying, "God, if that's the case, if this is no longer about me, please give me the strength that I can endure this abuse,
yes,
so I can stay tall so the people yes will have the courage like yes they did during Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And look what happened. The story became a symbol of not bowing. That was their testimony. And it was in the fire that was their promotion. Because when Nebuchadnezzar with all the people saw what was going on, how the story was unfolding, they said, "There's no other God that can do stuff like this." And he promoted them. He elevated them. And you know what is a fascinating part of that story? That Nebuchadnezzar, this evil king, because he was one of the worst kings, then he repented, but he was one of the bloodiest kings in history. You know what he said? He said, "Anyone," he becomes the greatest evangelist on earth during that moment, this bloody king, he says, "Anyone that says anything against God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be chopped to pieces." Can you imagine? And Nebuchadnezzar, that threw the man of God into the fire, becomes the greatest evangelist during that time alive. It's a fascinating story. Daniel was told by law not to pray. What does he do? He goes, opens the windows for the whole world to see that he has no intention of bowing before the wishes of the devil, but he will pray, and he left the doors open. You see, yes, these days, pastors will say to me, and even today I read a comment somewhere. It says, "You got to be wise like a serpent. And gentle like a dove. What you said is just un-Christ-like, and you know, we gotta have more love and this and that. Listen, we're living in a times of monsters.
Yes,
people are dying left and right because of what they have done to people.
Yes,
this is not the time to sugarcoat what they're doing. They're murderers. This is a genocide. If I had the power, I would call a Nuremberg trial number two. We're dealing with liars and murderers right now, cheaters and manipulators. So Daniel leaves the doors open, and that's how they find out that he has no intention of stopping what he has been doing all the time. And when they attacked our church, I'm telling you, I had no intention to stop doing what my God commands me to do. We never stopped congregating. We never stopped laying hands on the people throughout this life. And we never stopped singing. And we never stopped doing what God commanded us to do. Because I don't work for the Pharaoh. I work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my God. And by the way, when you say yes to Jesus, you say no to your flesh. When you say yes to Jesus, you're giving up your life in exchange of his life and the future. So what happened to us Christians? I put it this way. What happened with the shepherds? Because what we saw in the past 3 years was the greatest sifting we have ever seen on this side of eternity. The separation between the goats and the sheep and the wolves. This is a chaff and the wheat separation.
Yes.
We have seen now who is who in the zoo. Now we know who are real shepherds, willing to lay down their lives for the sheep that God has entrusted them with. That's why the shepherd has a staff and a stick to fend off the wolves. Now we know who is a real shepherd and who was just a hired gun. We know who is doing this for money or comfort or entertainment and who is doing this for Jesus, picking up his cross daily. And you know what is the biggest shocker in this story is that the pastors did this to the people, segregated them, separated them, isolated them. Many people died because of the pastors. And yet when they opened the churches again, all the foolish people went back to support those pastors that abused them, raped them, did this evil to them. This is a part of the story that I do not understand. Why or why in the right mind would you go back to your abuser that has no faith, that did this to you and your loved ones? It's like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yes,
that people go back to their abusers. That's one thing I don't get it. And in Calgary, it's fascinating. It was only a few churches. I mean, on one hand, that actually put up a fight against this tyrannical Pharaoh's government, or Caligula's, Nero's government.
Yes.
And when they opened the churches and when the government finally said, okay, you can congregate again, all those people just went back to those pastors, went back to those churches that muzzled them, isolated them, segregated them, locked their doors, turned their churches into vaccine clinics, put guards on the door preventing them from coming if they don't have the Nazi vaccine passport. And they went back. I was like, wow.
Those are the people who will hear the words, Lord, Lord, didn't we go and give in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye who do iniquity. I never knew you. This is a great time of sifting. This is separating. And I think, Arthur, you are being raised and have led the way down a path that could ignite and everyone be called down that path. So your experience, your first into this fiery furnace gives people the example, the guy in charge of, or at the very head of the line, you've been placed there. And other people, I think God is going to once again resurrect another pandemic. He's going to issue masks and mandates and new vaccines. You already see that Biden trying to give Congress money to create a new vaccine. All of this they may try again to steal the election in 2024. I've been thrown in prison myself, betrayed because of righteous work that I was doing. But you have to go through prison. You have to experience that betrayal and suffering to be that mighty man of God. It is in the fire that you find your true faith and your strength. And I think God is leading you down this path to raise you up as a great example and show that this is the Lord's man. The snakes in the wilderness against Moses, you know, raising up the staff and the snakes go away. I think this is going to be the undermining and the overthrowing and the revolution, hopefully, that changes America and Canada and beyond. This is not just, as your wife said, it's not about you anymore. It's about every single person that wants to live and believes in the things that you've believed. They want to live without oppression and tyranny and vaccines stuck on them and all sorts of police state maneuvers. So as this day progresses, as you go forward in this, I think the Lord is going to use you as a mighty example for people to follow. And I think people are going to stand up and say, no, 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 we're never allowing this again. And your example will be giving them strength. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but I want to give you your closing, presentation, how people again can support and follow you. What do you see coming? What would help you the most? I think President Trump needs to give you sanctuary when he gets back into the country, of course. And I also think this country is on the verge of a revolution, but I think you need to be given sanctuary unless you want to stay in Canada and topple the temple of Dagon like Samson did, which the Lord may be calling you to do. I think there could be a great awakening that completely sweeps away these godless demoniacs from Trudeau and Biden and all of the rest that have afflicted Australia and Britain and elsewhere. We're seeing, I think, what could be a mighty revolution change once again. But I'll hand it to you, Arthur. Go ahead.
Yeah, so of course, I mean, people like Donald Trump and General Flynn and others, every time they will talk about something, it goes viral. It goes and millions of people are learning about it. So Trump's family, if they would talk about what is happening to me, that's potentially would be very helpful because it puts pressure on the villains here in Canada. You got to remember, you're Americans. Everything that is happening in America reflects or shows up in Canada. When your politician is talking about something, it comes to Canada, becomes the news. So you're a powerhouse. I remember when I was in the plane coming, touring your country, I asked God, what do you want me to tell Americans? And here's what he said to me. Tell Americans that it's time for this great eagle to rise up once again and start flapping its wings. God recognizes that you are a great American eagle, that you are a power horse. He acknowledges that you've done it before and it's time for you to start doing it again. This is my SOS to America. Come to help us. I mean, you've done it before. It's time for you to help us again. You went overseas to fight the Nazis. You help us to fight the Soviets. Now it's time to fight the China-Canada Caligulas of today. Well, here is what I see is going to happen. When I was touring America, I spent so much time with your doctors, scientists, biologists, you know, smart people. And every one of them said to me that millions of people are going to die. And we see this unfolding right now. Millions of people are dying. And I believe after that God is going to fulfill his words that he spoke to me a number of years ago. Here's what he said. They've rejected my mercy, my grace, and my love. But I will have my revival, but they will come through the fire. I believe we are in the middle of the fire right now. I believe that God is purifying his real church. He's separating the chaff from the wheat, the sheep from the wolves, and the sheep from the goats. The goats that want to do whatever they want to do. They don't want to follow the shepherd. I think that God is making his diamonds, if you will. Not only purifying his gold, but he is making diamonds. And diamonds are being made hidden somewhere within the crust of the earth under enormous fire, enormous temperature. So there are, you know, certain diamonds that you see around the world that are being exposed to that intense fire, I believe, for such a time as this. I believe we're heading for the greatest revival we have ever seen on this side of eternity. I'll tell you why, because when people are hurting, when people see that, when people are hopeless, that's where the church can shine, truly shine. People are seeking like never before. They're seeking for answers. Economy is collapsing. Fiat currency is collapsing. More and more people realize that the mainstream media are just pathological liars, that the government is to get them, that the doctors have betrayed their oath. So now more and more people are seeing this and they don't know where to go. They are losing hope. That's where the church is needed now, to give them hope. So I'm looking forward that after difficulties, a great time for the church will come. I believe that millions, if not a billion people will come to the Lord during that time. So I'm looking forward to what is going to happen. And remember, during the time of Esther and Mordecai, it was a crazy tough time. You know, looking them building a gallows, they already built a gallows for me. I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, my God, are you going to rescue me? Because they already built a gallows for me. Mainstream media rejoiced when the verdict came. All over the world, Pastor Pawlowski found guilty. We told you he's a criminal, right? So the gallows is built. And I'm thinking, God, are you going to come to the rescue? But you got to remember the story of Esther, that after this difficult moment, it was a great rejoicing. Yes. And great authority and great wealth that came. I've heard about the transfer of wealth since I remember, but I have never seen it. I've heard about men of God and women of God in a powerful authority places, but I didn't really see it. You know, in America is a little bit better, but in Canada, they are evil, wicked people since I remember ruling this country. So I think our time is coming. That's what I'm trying to say. I believe that our time is coming. We got to go through the fire. This is our time to be purified. This is our time to get close to God, to his wisdom, to his authority, to his anointing, to his strategy. Today, this morning with my wife, that's how we prayed. God, give us a supernatural strategy, how to fight those giants, how to do it. I believe our time is coming. I believe the church is going to shine. And I believe the multitudes will be looking at us, seeking hope and seeking wisdom, seeking answers for their troubles. So I don't know what is going to happen to me on September 18th. But no matter what they're cooking, my God has the final say. In our church, we have the saying, quitters never win, winners never quit. And we have to remember we are followers of the lion from the tribe of Judah. Our father is a lion. Our brother is a lion. Therefore, we are lions and lionesses. So what do lions do? Lions never bow before the hyenas. Lions eat hyenas for breakfast. We know how the story ends. We have already won because Jesus on the cross said it clearly. It is finished. It's done. The victory belongs to those that are standing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we just got to keep plowing like a good farmer that throws the money literally into the dirt, believing, having faith that God's words are more powerful than logic and eyes and ears. So we got to tune to his kingdom. And I'm telling you, greater is he that is in us than the one that is in them.
When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And Father, we ask you to bless Arthur Pawlowski and release him, give him liberty, lift him up, let the gallows that they've created hang and destroy themselves. Make him a icon of your deliverance. Let all eyes and ears see and hear Arthur as a man of God whose faith has carried him through the fire. We ask you, Father, this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And I would encourage people to write the Canadian embassy, call the Canadian embassy, Google and get their contact information and communicate to the Canadian embassy and the prime minister and the Canadian ambassador that you as an American are outraged and appalled at what the treatment of this righteous man and of God and pastor has been put through. And you're demanding that he be given a full pardon and released immediately, or else never will any American look at Canada as a free nation again, and nor should any American politician or president or military figure. No one should look at Canada as a country to be respected or admired who puts a man of God in prison. It is a filthy abomination of desolation. And it's ironic because I'm sure other countries in the world, specifically Russia and Putin and Lavrov and Zakharova and the rest of the people there, are looking at Canada saying, how can you do this to a man of God? You're doing to Arthipolowski what Zelensky and the Ukrainian Nazis are doing to Russian Orthodox pastors. The poles have shifted. We are not what we were in the 1980s. We have degraded and turned into that which we said we were fighting against. We've turned into the communist left-wing regimes that destroy our people. Look at Maui. Look at all over. Look at 9/11 and look at what we have here. So I would just say people need to contact the Canadian embassy and the Canadian ambassador and the prime minister and their own politicians. Write a simple email. Write a simple letter. Write the email and then print it out as your letter. But spend half an hour to voice your outrage about what the Canadian government has been doing and the betrayal and treachery and the wickedness. And pray God's judgment comes upon all of them for what they've been doing. So, Arthur, it's been a great honor for us to have you. We are going to keep you in prayer. You are on our mind. We are faithful that God is going to deliver you in his way, in his time. Remember, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what kept me alive and balanced when they threw me into prison. When Obama and Biden and Eric Holder threw me into prison for exposing their shell game of terrorist financing using Swiss banks, the same Swiss bank that they used to overthrow the election of Donald Trump, Union Bank of Switzerland, which the Chinese Communist Party partnered with. All of this God gave me and threw me in jail, and I would never have known it had the Lord not sent me to jail. I would never have had the documents and the material to write the shell game report, which is exploding and will exonerate Donald Trump to a large extent. Never would I have been able to do that had the Lord not sent me to prison. And it was in prison that he gave me the gold and the wealth and the treasure and the character and turned me into the steel that I was in his grace. Only in prison can that happen. And so I know whatever he is leading you to, it will be for your good and it will be for his glory. And he will raise you up as he did Joseph, as he's done Job. And you will be a mightier man because of it. And we are all standing with you and fighting with you. So God bless you. Any last words before we sign off? Go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, just thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I just want to say thank you, Americans. I mean, I always have tears when I am with Americans because I'm a Polish, and Polish people are so much like Americans. Americans are so much like the Polish people. I believe that we are brothers, and Polish generals fought for the independence of the United States of America. I'm sure you're aware of that. Kościuszko as well, and others. I want to thank you so much for your support. And again, you can go to streetchurch.ca to see what we're doing. And if you can help us out, please do spread the word around. Let the people know what's happening. I was told by fixers a few weeks ago to keep my mouth shut. I was told that if I don't stop talking, the judge that they own and is paid for was ordered to lock me in prison unless I stop talking. And you see, I'm a lion. I don't make pacts or deals with hyenas. When the devil tells me to keep my mouth shut, I'll speak even more. So I thank you so much for this opportunity. The devil doesn't own me. I'm not for sale. Jesus is not for sale. We were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. He already bought us. And I'm thanking I'm thanking him for this opportunity to be the voice crying out in the wilderness that our God is bigger than their God. So thank you so much. Be blessed.
Amen. God bless you. And people, take this link, copy and paste this link, and send it to the Canadian Embassy and the Canadian Prime Minister and the Canadian Ambassador, and send it to your members of Congress and demand that they watch this, because we cannot allow a man of God to be imprisoned and tortured like this. This is the day the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, because he will redeem his servants again. We are passing through this world, and what they meant for evil, God meant for good. So all the evil they've tried to do to Arthur, God is going to use for good and to liberate all who see and hear. There are people who will crack the egg of control and will burst out with a new sense of identity and strength and mission as a result of witnessing your plight, Arthur. They will come out like a phoenix coming out of the ashes. And that's what's very exciting, is the Lord will use this to transform other people. He will use you as the gasoline to throw onto the coals of their soul, which has gone cold. But I think the Lord will fan it and inflame people through your example. So we will definitely have you on again. We'll keep you in prayer. We will keep in touch. God bless you, Arthur Pawlowski. And thank you for joining us on GlobalFreedomTV.com. God bless. Good night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, greetings. My name is Scott Bennett, host of Great Awakenings, and I'd like to take a moment to share with you a personal story. So many of you have been writing and calling us about the Indian black salve, Indian herb, as a healing agent for cancer. I wanted to take this time and show you a video and share with you my own personal testimony. This isn't medical advice. This isn't legal advice. This is simply my personal testimony. And I share it with you to hope and pray that it heals you. I suffered a skin cancer that I left and I didn't attend to, and I didn't want to have surgery or anything like that. So I left it for about 5 or 6 years. But this skin cancer essentially grew and grew and grew to a point where I thought, I really have to get this removed. And I was moments away from going into the Veterans Affairs office and having surgery, when a friend of mine told me about Indian black salve, Indian herb, as it's called also. And she shared with me how her husband had used this and how it had healed him of cancer, and how because of this, it was the best natural agent that you could use for cancers, really, of any kind, whether it's skin cancer or tumors or brain cancer or leukemia. So she had also shared how the pharmaceutical companies and the establishment medical communities had been against this substance, but that it really did work. And her husband had been healed of his cancer. So I went ahead and I tried it, and I got some from some friends who made it, and I applied it to the skin cancer that I had on my back. And as God is my witness, after 4 days of applying just a half of a pea-sized amount on the skin cancer, it dissolved and disintegrated, scabbed, and ultimately began to fall out. Now, be advised, it was very painful at the time. It felt like burning. It felt like bees stinging. But that was the cancer being cauterized and separated from the healthy tissue. And so after 4 days of applying this onto my skin cancer on my back, I stopped, and it continued to work. And about 10 days later, it completely fell off and new tissue was created. And so I generated a photograph library each day, different photos of the skin cancer. And I'm going to share that with you. And you will see with your own eyes just how miraculous this substance is. And that's the only word that I can use to describe it. Now, after I applied it topically for 4 days, and I stopped after 4 days, I began to take it about 10 days after that. I began to take it in capsule form. I would scoop out a little bit with a toothpick and put it into a gel capsule and take it orally with a meal. And I've done that for about 20 days. And that goes inside the body, and essentially this Indian black salve goes after and kills any cancer cells that are in the body. And I would also say this is a purely natural substance with yellow dock, blood root, galangal, licorice root. It's all natural. It's created by people that we know who've had this recipe for a long, long time. And it even traces back to ancient American Indians. So this is something that has miraculously cured me. This is something that I wholeheartedly believe in, and I share it with you now just as a personal testimony, not as medical advice. It is very strong. It can be very painful. But the end result, I think, is truly worth it, because whatever skin cancers you have inside of you, whatever tumors you have inside of you, this substance will go after them, dissolve them. You will see scabs and pustules come out of the skin. But that is the natural process of the body healing itself. And I've had friends who've had leukemia, and they've also had a miraculously wonderful healing effect from this. So in any case, I wanted to share with you this video. Take a look at the photographs. You'll see with your own eyes what the cancer was that I had and how this healed it ultimately. And if you are interested and you want to get some of the black salve, I would strongly recommend getting two little containers full, one for your own treatment and then one for the long-term preservation in case supply lines go down. Supply lines may be interfered with. And again, the pharmaceutical, big pharma, whatever you want to call them, establishment, is rabidly against this and any other natural forms of combating cancer, as you probably know already. But we wanted to share this with you, our listeners, our audience, our friends, and our family, to say this is something, regardless of how far your cancer may be, this is something that if I was to do it all over again, I would try it in a heartbeat. And in fact, I would say, had relatives of mine gotten this when they had cancer decades ago, they'd still be alive. And that's the true sad reality of the world we live in, where cancer has become a moneymaker for so many. But I'm living example that this works and it heals, and I want to share that with you. So contact us if you would like to get some. We will have it mixed up and mailed out to you. And it's relatively very inexpensive, and it does the job that no one else can do. And you won't need chemo or radiation or surgery. That is the beautiful thing about it. This took care of my cancer within a month, and praise the Lord, I am the Lord who heals, and God does what he promises. So all glory to God. So watch this video, and if you'd like some, contact us at globalfreedomtv.com, or contact us on the email contact page at shellgamewhistleblower.com. And if those sites are interfered with, you may call our offices at 925-856-7901 or email me directly at armypsyop@outlook.com. That's army, A-R-M-Y, psyop, P-S-Y-O-P, at outlook.com. We want to make sure that we get you what healed us. And we're very confident that it will heal you too. God bless you. And now, enjoy this video.
was a time when I had my head in the sand. Then I found out that power players pass lies for truth and truth for lies, especially in areas of life and health. I used to stay quiet, and now I speak up. I red pill my family, I red pill my friends, and I support redpillliving.com. Red Pill Living has real health products that support longevity, vitality, and detoxification against the deep state attacks on your health. It's redpillliving.com. Wake up, stand up, speak up.